You know, everyone loves a good story. How many of you like a good story? How many of you, if you go to a movie and the story is horrible but the CGI are good, you're like, that was an amazing movie? Some of you. But there's nothing that kills a movie like a bad story. That if you have a good story, people get drawn into that because stories are largely how we communicate. Everyone loves a good story. My kids throughout the years will be, Dad, tell me a story about when you were old. And then they'll go back on the, when I was old, I used to do this. But they like stories. Stories are what sort of grab our hearts. Stories, when we look at Scripture, is full of stories about what God has done in different people's lives, that we find out who God is through the stories that God writes in people's lives. And so I want to ask you, what is your story? What is your story? And I want to ask you to turn to someone near you who isn't your spouse, if you're married. And I want you to take a minute to tell them, what's your story? If you had to say, this is my story, if you had to summarize it in a minute, and some of you are going in the panic mode, this is also how we get to know one another as a community. And so I know for some of you, talking to new people is a big step, and I want to encourage you to take that step. But just to say, this is my story, and see if you can summarize it in 1 minute. And then in a minute, I'm going to switch, and you're going to switch roles, and the other person's going to tell their story. Okay? So ready, set, go. Share your story. 1 minute. All right. How many of you had a hard time trying to pick out what to say about your story? How many of you, once you started telling your story, couldn't stop telling your story? You all had at least a minute and a half each person, and so you all, how many, and that's true, all of us, sometimes it's hard to tell, what is my story? That there's some of us in here that you've lived less years, and so what you have to pull from is smaller. Others of us, we've lived for decades, we have a lot to pull from, and trying to remember what we should pull from is maybe where the stress comes in. But we all have stories that we're writing. Our stories are probably filled with a collection of victories and defeats, celebration and tears. Maybe it's stories of betraying someone or being betrayed. Our stories are probably filled with love and heartbreak. Some of us, we have walked in some hot, on the mountaintops of life. Some of us have walked through some pretty dark and deep valleys. Some of us, if we think about our lives, they may swing from some high highs to some low lows, while others of us, maybe we've just sort of been more moderate in the middle. That if I could walk around this room and let us hear each other's stories, we'd hear just a whole range of stories. Stories of people trying to navigate the messiness of life. Stories celebrating the goodness of God and what's happening in your life. We may find stories of those of us who maybe we've made some bad and poor choices and we're suffering the consequences of those, or we're suffering the consequences of other people's bad choices. There may be people in here that if I were to ask you, you just at this point in life feel just sort of powerless and out of control in your life, like you're just along for the ride. Others may feel like I'm in complete control of my life right now. I bet there's some in this room that you're carrying around some heavy burdens, and you just haven't been able to tell anyone about them because you're not sure how people are going to react. But in this room, your story is being written, and it is a story that Hollywood can't even touch. And as Christians, I hope we understand that God is the one who ultimately wants to write our story. That God doesn't want to just be a part of our story, not just a mention in a chapter or our sidekick through life, but God actually wants to be the author of our story. That God wants to write our story. And part of our surrender is sometimes we want to write our own story, and when we get in trouble, when it doesn't go as we want, then we sort of call for God to come in, save us, get our life back on our track, and then we sort of say, okay, God, you can go back to the side till I need you again. Where what God says and what God wants from us, what discipleship is about, is us handing the keyboard to God and saying, write my story. Who's writing your story? Is it you? Is it God? Are you fighting for the keyboard? But God wants to be a part of your story. He wants to write your story. And the story that God has for you is better than any story out there, any Marvel, any DC story. He wants to write the best story ever. And the psalm we look at today, it's a psalm of thanksgiving. It's a corporate psalm of the assembled people of Israel giving thanks to God for what he has done for them. It's a psalm that takes place after the Israelites have returned from exile. They've regathered in the promised land, and the psalmist calls them together, and he's going to tell them, what's your story? Tell your story. How has God been in your story? And when you recognize the goodness of God, the love of God, the mighty deeds he has done in your life, give thanks for that. Praise him for that. And so today, as I read the psalm, I'm going to invite you just to sit and listen. And again, the psalms invite us to enter in. They invite us to find our place in the psalm. And so as I read the psalm today, we're going to be in 107 verses 1 through 32. In this psalm, the psalmist describes sort of four major categories of life stories. And I want you to ask yourself, which story do you most resonate with? And it may be the story of your life and faith, or it may even be where your story is now. Which story do you resonate with? And so just listen in. Psalms 107. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from the east and west, from north and south. Here's the first story. Some wandered in the desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Second story. Some sat in darkness, in utter darkness. Prisoners suffering in iron chains because they rebelled against God's commands. They despised the plans of the Most High. He subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled and there was no one to help them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness, the utter darkness. He broke away the chains. He let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind, for he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through the bars of iron. Third story. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered afflictions because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and grew near the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word, and he healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and for his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. Fourth story. Some went out on the sea in ships, and they were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. He spoke and stirred up the tempest. that lifted the waves high. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the seas were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. Heavenly Father, again, would you speak to us today? Would you remind us of the story you're writing in our lives? The story you invite us to tell? A story where we would see your goodness, your wonderful deeds, your unfailing love and compassion and mercy in our lives, and that we would give thanks and praise to you continually for your goodness. For we pray this in your name. Amen. Which story do you find yourself resonating with? The psalmist begins this passage by commanding the people of God as they're gathered together to give thanks to the Lord because the Lord is good. Amen? Amen. All that God does is good. God cannot do anything evil or bad. We have a God who is a good God who blesses his people. Every good thing we have comes from the Father above. And so he says, give thanks. We should be able to just give thanks each and every day because we have a God who is good. Imagine if we had a God who wasn't good. That would be a scary thing. But we have a God who is good. And he says, give thanks not just because he's good, but because of his unfailing love, or in the NIV, his love endures forever. And that word love here in the Hebrew is the Hebrew word hesed, which speaks to God's covenantal love for his people. And it's much more than just his love for us. It's his kindness, it's his mercy, it's his grace, it's his forgiveness, it's his blessing. It encompasses all of who God is, his faithfulness. And he says, God is faithful to who he is. It will never change. It will never decrease. He'll never draw back on it. All he knows how to do is to love us unfailingly. That each and every day we can wake up and be 100% assured that God loves you. That his grace and his mercy is new every morning. And if that doesn't cause us to celebrate and give thanks, then we need to really ask God to show us what he's doing, to show us himself. And then in verse 2, I love this line. He says, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. When's the last time you told your story of God's goodness and his love? When's the last time we, the redeemed, those who've said yes to Jesus, when's the last time we've told people how God has saved us, rescued us, lifted us up, guided us through our lives, forgiven us, freed us? When's the last time we've told our story? That this is the call of disciples, is to be men and women who will tell our story. The story of what God has done in our lives. See, we don't need to save people because we can't save them. That is what God does. We need to trust that the Holy Spirit is working in the lives of the people around us in ways we can't comprehend. And the amazing thing of God is God says, I want to take your story and I want you simply to tell your story and I'll do all the rest. We don't need to go every time and try to convince people of their need of God. That's God's job. Our job is to tell our story. Jesus says, be salt and light, be ambassadors, be ready to give an answer. Live in such a way that your life is the aroma of Christ wherever you go. That when we walk in a room, people should get to know us and see our lives, and our lives should give off a particular aroma that they're like, this person's different. That they start to pay attention. Because when you're different in our society, people will pay attention to see why you're different. Because whether we realize it or not, people are looking for something more. They're looking for Jesus and they don't know it. And again, if our lives look like everyone else's, they're going to just keep looking. Tell your story. When's the last time you went to a friend, a coworker, even a family member and said, can I tell you what God did to me this today? Maybe like, sure. I was asked, I've been praying for this, and God came through and he answered it. It's amazing. I just wanted to tell you. That might be all you do, and you may come back next week and be like, man, we were at church and someone prayed for me. It was amazing. Can I tell you about it? And they'd be like, oh, you're probably going to, so sure. And what that is it plants seeds. That maybe all of a sudden when they start going through something, they're like, hey, this sounds like that thing that person keeps telling me about. Maybe I can ask them about it. Or maybe if you're sharing with someone something that's going on in their life, that you can say, hey, I have been through that. Can I tell you how I got through it? Can I tell you how God helped me? Every single story in here, God wants to use. God wastes nothing of your story. You may not have like what is a spectacular story of like, I was the worst of the worst of the worst and God showed up and now life is all good. Yours might be this steady, just faithful, trying to follow God. God can use your story. And there's people around you that God wants to use your story to point them to him. And so again, I want to look briefly at these four stories. And again, is this your story? Is this maybe the story you're in now? Because as we go through life, we might be in one place where God rescues us from one story, and then as life goes on, we might find ourselves, you might say, hey, my overall life was the first story, but now I find myself in that last story. And the invitation is for us to cry out to God and to see his goodness, to see his unfailing love. And so in this first group that the psalmist describes, it's those that he describes that they're wandering in a wasteland. They're hungry, they're thirsty, they're lost, they have no direction, they don't know where to go, they're looking for a place to belong, a city to live in, a place to dwell, a place to put down roots. They're looking for a place to call home, for a community, all these things that they find in a city, and yet they can't find a city. They don't know where to go. They're in a desert, they're in a wasteland, their lives are wasting away. There's no signs on the horizon saying this is the way. Does that describe any of your stories? Have you ever felt lost? Have you ever felt like you were just wandering through life? You might have a job, you might not have a job, but you've just felt lost. You didn't know which way to go. Life in this season is just about going through the motions to get to the next day and the next day. You look around and you're just like, whatever situation I'm in, God, I just want out of here. Or maybe you felt that hunger and thirst. That maybe even you go to your pantry, your cupboards, and they're full of food, and yet you're still hungry. Or maybe you've experienced all the success of life, the pleasure, the toy, the possessions, and yet in the midst of all of that, you're still not satisfied. You're still searching for something that you'd give anything to make that hunger, that thirst go away. Or maybe you've longed for a place to call home, a community to call your own, a people where you could show up and just be you, no masks, no pretending, where you could come in and you could talk about the good things that God is doing in your life and people would celebrate you, or you could come in and talk about the difficult place you're in or the things you're struggling with in life and not be judged, not be looked down on, but instead have people who recognize and understand what that's like, that say, I've been there, I am there, let me walk with you, let me pray with you. A place where you actually find genuine community. And maybe even now in the midst of people and community, you're like, I still feel alone. Is that part of your story? The psalmist goes on to say that these people in this experience, that they finally sort of reach the end of it. Their life is ebbing away until finally they cry out to the Lord in their trouble and he delivers them from their distress. That God comes and he meets them where he's at. He helps them out. He helps them. He redeems them. He rescues them. It says he shows them a path, a straight path to a city, to a place where they can belong and be known, where their hunger is satisfied, where their thirst is quenched, and that is met in Jesus and Jesus alone. That those who are looking, that are hungry and thirsty and lost in life, we're not looking for a job or a career or stuff. What we're looking for is God. God created us to know him. God created us to be in relationship with other people, in community. That's what we hunger for. That's what we're after, and that's what we find in God. Have you experienced the goodness, the unfailing love of God when you've cried out to him finally and surrendered your life to him to discover God coming in and giving you purpose and meaning and joy and love and compassion and grace and mercy and forgiveness, and you can't help then but to celebrate? Is that your story? The second story describes people who are living, it says, in darkness, in utter darkness. It describes someone who is in prison, and the psalmist says these people, they found themselves in there because of their sin, because they chose not to follow God, because they chose to live their lives according to their own truths and not God's truth. They despise the things of God. When they read that God wants this, they say, well, I'm going this way instead. And eventually they find themselves living in darkness, chained and trapped. See, that's the truth of our sinfulness. Sinfulness offers us the appearance of pleasure, the appearance of life, but sin just traps and chains us. Our sinfulness steals life. Over and over in the New Testament, Paul describes us as being chained to sin, slaves to sin without God. That slowly and steadily sin traps us and it leads us ultimately to death and separation from God. And there's a thing about sin that it often gives us what we want without God. It gives us sort of brief shots of pleasure, of happiness, of power, of control, of worth or value. Whatever we crave, sin offers us to give it to us without God. Here's a fast way to what you want. You don't actually have to go God's way. I can give it to you now. But the thing about sin is that once you sin, it feels great for a while, and then because the consequences aren't always immediate, but sin is always working in the background. And sin acts like a drug, and that once that pleasure, that high, it quickly fades. The hunger's returned, the lostness returns, and then we go and we sin again and again and again to keep sort of the high, that pleasure. And before we know it, we live in darkness. And even when we realize we need to change, we don't feel like we can. Or maybe we even consider God, but the enemy comes and he whispers, God wouldn't want you. Look how sinful you are. Look how far you've fallen. God wouldn't love someone like you. And the darkness comes in and we can't hear the truth of Jesus. And sometimes when we even go to God's people, sometimes we give them the wrong message and they feel worse after they talk to us. But the psalmist says, finally, these people, they're at the bottom. They've stumbled and there's no one to help. They can't get up. They're chained. And so they cry out to the Lord. And what does God do? He saves them from their distress. He doesn't point the finger at them. He doesn't say, hey, I gave you the law. You should have known better. He doesn't do that. He doesn't make us feel worse. He comes, he saves, he restores, he forgives because of Jesus' death and resurrection. Our price is paid. And I love this imagery. It says he comes in and he breaks away the chains, the doors of bronze. He breaks them down, the bars of iron. He cuts through them. He brings people out into freedom and newness of life. He heals, he restores. Those who felt trapped by their sinfulness, in Jesus there is freedom, there is forgiveness, there is new life. That is an amazing God. Yes, clap for that. That there's some where your story is a story of one where you felt the weight of your sin heavily. You've seen the consequences on your life and the life of others. And when you understand that, it's not to just sort of sink further in the darkness, it's to cry out to the God who saves, the God who died for our sinfulness, the God who loves us as we are and is going to change and transform and bring new life and say, Jesus, I need you. I need what you did on the cross, your death and resurrection. Would you come and give me new life? My life is yours. And Paul says God comes and he breaks the chains. We're no longer slaves to sin. We're now slaves and free to follow Jesus. Is that your story? Is there a sin in your life now that you just feel chained and trapped to? Bring it to God and say, God, I need you to set me free. God, I need your forgiveness. Would you set me free because of what Jesus did on the cross for me? Third group of people in this psalm are those who find themselves in desperate situations. That they've rebelled against God. They've lived foolishly. They've lived a sinful life. They did whatever they wanted to do. They didn't live with wisdom or restraint. They just did whatever came to them. And because of that, they find themselves and their choices have caught up to them. They're broken. Their bodies seem like they're near death. Because again, sin has a way of trapping us, whether we realize it or not. Sin steals life from us. And sometimes at some point, often maybe our foolish living will come back and we'll pay the price for it. Sometimes it's our health. Sometimes it can be our relationships where we are taken from us or we just feel so alone because we've burned every bridge with people who have loved us. Again, we see in our world so often where drugs and addictions can come and they seem like a great thing, but over time they just steal life and health and community from a person. That's sin. And so again, this group, they get to where they're near death's door and they finally realize it. And they cry out to the Lord in their trouble. And what does he do? He saves them. He rescues them. He forgives them. He heals them. This is the God that we have, is a God who saves, redeems, rescues, and heals when we cry out to him. He gives us so much that we don't deserve. That's what his chesed is, his loving covenantal faithfulness. Is God is a God who just pours out on us when we come to him. His grace, his mercy, his compassion, his love, all these things that we don't deserve because he has chosen to love us and made the covenantal decision to be with his people. Then there's this last group who they have just been trying to make a living. And this one, they are merchants on a ship. That they're trying to make a living and they realize just how hard that can be. That obstacles come their way. In this case, it's a storm that they encounter on the seas where the waves, it says, are as high as the mountain and they go down to the depths. And they get so terrified by it that their courage leaves them. They're without, they're at their wits' ends. They don't know what to do. Have you ever, maybe that describes your life at some point or now where you feel like you're just being tossed around by life. Things are coming your way out of control, and you realize how little control you actually have over your life. You realize you're just sort of at the mercy of whatever people or situations are, and you're just like, I don't know what to do. And you lose courage, you lose hope. You've tried everything, and you just are at your end. And again, that's when these people, they cry out to the Lord in their trouble. And what does he do? He stills the storms with a whisper. The waves are hushed. They grew glad when things grew calm. God guides them to their safe destination. that God comes, and when we give our lives to him, when we come to him and say, God, my life is in chaos, there are things happening to me that it's out of my control, I've tried everything, and God says, no, you haven't tried me yet. And when we cry out, when we finally try God, God says God is either going to give us calm the storms in our life so we can get through them, or God, those storms may still rage, but God says you're going to walk through the fire and not be burned. The waves, they're not going to overwhelm you because I will be with you. That even in the midst of the storms, God brings peace that we can walk through it and reach our destination. That is the God that we serve. That is who he is. Which one of those is your story? When have you, last time you paused and just sort of thought about the goodness of God in your life? About his marvelous deeds that he's done for you? In a moment, when we invite the worship team up, we're going to have a chance to respond in praise and thanksgiving. And maybe that describes, again, your life and how you came to God, but maybe that also describes where you are now. And rather than wait to get to the bottom of yourself, take advice from the psalmist, cry out now. So bring that area to God now and say, God, I'm lost. Would you help me? God, I'm trapped in this sin. Would you bring freedom? God, I've made some dumb choices. Would you rescue me? God, life is too much. I need you to come in and calm the storms. And invite him in now. Don't wait till it gets so far down. Do it now. And maybe there's some of you here where you're like, I've been trying my whole life. I've never cried out to this God. In a moment, I'll give you an invitation to cry out and just surrender your life to God. What do you have to lose? That we could probably walk around this room and ask, when has God shown up in your life? And you would hear the goodness of God over and over. That we have a God who saves, redeems, heals, and restores because of the work of his son dying on the cross and being raised to life. And maybe you've heard that story, but you're like, yeah, but isn't that just about heaven? Well, yes, it's about being with God when we die, but it's about our life here and now that God wants to change and restore and heal and bring new life to. And so I invite you just to close your eyes. And just spend some time reflecting on the goodness of God in your life. Of places where you've been, where you've just been at your end, lost, consumed, trapped, feeling out of control. And remember the goodness of God, of how he came and he rescued and he restored and he healed and he guided and he lifted you up. Ask the Spirit to show you again so clearly his love, the wonderful deeds that he's done for you. And when we worship in a moment, respond as people who are living that out, who understand the goodness of God, who've tasted and seen how good he is. And again, maybe you find yourself in another one of those places, then just bring it to God and cry out to him today and say, God, I'm here today. I need to know you're with me. I need you to heal. I need you to restore. I need you to guide. I need what only you can do. And let him speak. Or maybe you've lived foolishly and you're just like, God, I've made a mess of my life. Would you come and heal and restore me? And maybe there's others of you that your life just seems out of control. There's obstacles in your life that you're like, I've tried every way to get up, over, and around, and I can't. God, would you come and bring peace to the chaos? Would you come and make a way through the fires, through the wilderness, through the waves? If that's you, spend some time talking about that. if you're here and maybe God is speaking and you're just like, there is something going on in me that I need this, I'm going to lead you in just a short prayer of asking Jesus to come and be Lord of your life, to be your Redeemer, your Savior, your Rescuer. And so just repeat this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, I need you, God, in my life. I've been doing everything on my own. I haven't once thought of what you want, and I've made a mess of my life. I've sinned. God, I believe that Jesus did die on the cross and be raised for the forgiveness of my sins. So God, today I put my trust in you and invite you to come and be the Lord of my life. Today I surrender my life and choose to follow you.